Now, in studio, your lending expert, family man, and servant leader, who's committed to honoring and empowering San Diego's servant leaders to rise up. Your host of Rise Up Radio, James Carmody.
Welcome to the show, folks. Thank you for tuning in to Rise Up Radio. I'm your host, James Carmody. We have another exciting show, and we are going to talk servant leadership. How are people in San Diego making a difference? Making a difference in the lives of their loved ones, their family, their friends, their neighbors, community. You know, we believe here at Rise Up Radio that San Diego is America's finest city, and we have a responsibility to own that. And that starts with individual responsibility and accountability. And it can be as simple as you, when you leave your house tomorrow morning to grab the newspaper, waving to your neighbor, right? Maybe that person that you don't know on your street, going up and introducing yourself. Or the person that's in your department at work that you don't know or you haven't really gotten to know on Monday morning, going and say, hey, this is me. This is who I am. This is why I work here. Why do you work here? What are you all about? You know, raising up and lifting up our fellow brothers and sisters. So, folks, we have an exciting show. We are so glad that you're following with us. Our first guest is a colonel, Marine Corps, and in the Marine Corps for 26 years. But let me preface this by saying he is here on his own personal accord, and his viewpoints are not from the Department of Defense and the Marines, but himself as a servant leader. But this man has been in the Marines, career officer for 26 years, been all over the world in 18 different countries, including Europe, East Asia, Central America, South America, and the Middle East. Been responsible for 135 to 2,500 Marines, just a superb leader, and it is just an honor and privilege to welcome Colonel Chris Ritchie to the show.
Well, James, thank you very much, and I congratulate you on all the great work that Rise Up Radio is doing. I mean, you got me motivated to go say hello to my neighbor as soon as we're done here.
Thank you. You know, it's all about relationships, you know, and I can't think of someone better to discuss relationships with than someone who has been in the Marine Corps for 26 years and had various commands, and sometimes you're the leader, sometimes you're listening, and you're taking leadership.
That's right.
But you didn't wake up this way. We didn't just wake up and say, hey, we're this polished colonel in the Marine Corps. You know, let's talk a little bit about your background. You know, where did you grow up?
Sure. Thanks for calling me polished and not old, by the way.
That's right.
So background, I come from a military family. All of my aunts and uncles, all of my uncles and my grandfathers, my dad served in the military. So you could kind of say I was brought up that way.
Yeah.
But one thing that left an impression in my mind, I was 12 years old, was at Fort Rucker, Alabama, observing a ceremony. Now, my grandfather had been retired for 15 years by that point, but there's generals that walked by and saluted him. And I thought, well, my grandfather retired as a colonel. So I asked one of my uncles, why is my grandfather being saluted? He's in civilian clothes. And he said, well, son, your grandfather's a hero. And it got me to ask questions and learn things about my grandfather I did not know. And he was in the Philippines early in the war, right after Pearl Harbor occurred. People don't realize that then the Japanese attacked the Philippines, and he was a Bataan Death March survivor.
Wow.
And endured being a prisoner of war for 3.5 years. And it was his faith that sustained him and kept him through. But I think oftentimes, had he not survived, I wouldn't be sitting here right now. My life is a gift. And I knew right then and there that I was going to do my part and serve my country and honor my grandfather.
Amen to that.
Yes,
and
sir.
So you grew up in that environment. You learned service. You learned, you know, to be a proud American, and that you also had a responsibility and an obligation to give back to this country.
Yep, spot on. Exactly right.
And so where did you go from Alabama?
Well, Alabama, I graduated from Auburn University, so War Eagle, for all the listeners out there.
Go War Eagles.
Only really good school in the state of Alabama. And it was commissioned immediately upon graduation. So I did the ROTC four-year program and right off the bat embarked upon my career. Never really intended to do a 26 and still counting.
Yeah.
But as I proceeded throughout my various ranks, I just learned that I really loved my job. I love serving my country, but more importantly, I love serving others.
Yeah. And that's, you know, did you know when you were a boy, like, I'm going into the service, like growing up in that environment, you know, did you immediately know, like, okay, I want to do this now. It's just a matter of which branch.
Yes. And my mom, God rest her soul, was very upset with me when I turned down West Point to go to Auburn and become a United States Marine.
Okay.
So my uncle is the very first Marine who I ever met. Now, my grandfather was Army.
Wow. Okay. A little dissension.
It was a difficult decision, but I did have a recruiter also who said, let me teach you about the Marine Corps. I was on my way. Like I said, it was a prep scholarship to West Point, and that's what I wanted to do. But I became very inspired by the precision, the commitment to excellence, just knowing that I'm looking at somebody that I would love to become if I could undergo the proper training and become, because you don't join the Marines, you become a Marine. Right. And I was very impressed by my uncle, the recruiter, and all the Marines who I had had a chance to meet. And my grandfather was still proud of me.
Grandpa's still proud. Yeah. So you become a Marine, and what did you, you know, what were some of your early goals and intentions as a young officer?
Sure. Well, like most officers, especially Marines, you want to be the best that you can be. Mm-hmm. Plain and simple. You want to be the absolute best that you can be. And then, as lieutenants and officers, you want to be the best leader that you can possibly be, because the Marine Corps is all about leadership. It's accomplishing our mission. It's taking care of our Marines. And yep. So these were my goals up front.
And then, you're deployed to tours all over the world. You're getting the best leadership training in the world.
Yes.
And at what point in your career did you say, you know what, there's more to leadership than just getting a medal pinned on my jacket and on my uniform?
Yeah, absolutely. It was actually early on in my career, but it didn't really start to make sense until I got a lot older. And at each level where I've had a chance to command, whether it be just at a platoon or a company or a squadron or a group level, it begins to make more and more sense that it's not about the medals that you've earned. It's about the impact and the significance that you make on an individual's life. So the invisible medal is something that I've kind of thought of about a year or so ago, mostly in my last command opportunity. And as I was a young officer, I wanted to prove that I was a success. And if you look at anybody in uniform, well, they wear it on their shirt. You can see.
That's right.
What are those ribbons and medals? That represents something. That
means, where does this guy rank? What have they accomplished?
That's right. They've been somewhere. They've done something. They've been awarded for excellence. And everybody wants to. I mean, we'd be lying if we said that didn't matter, because that's a way to demonstrate our worth in a very competitive organization as the Marine Corps. No doubt about that. I almost want to say it's pride.
Yeah.
So as I got older, I recognized the fact that if I have an opportunity to help somebody achieve their full potential, whether it be in our profession or in their personal lives, and the feeling that comes from that, I call that the invisible medal, because you gain so much more satisfaction in knowing that you've impacted somebody's life, that nobody will ever see that medal being worn on your chest, but you know it and the individual knows it. And there's more value to that than any ribbon or medal that could ever be pinned upon my chest. That's the invisible medal.
Love it. You know, and that's what God's put us on the planet to do.
Yes.
You know, is to impact and influence others for good. You know, we were sharing before the show, we were talking about a great friend and guest that is near and dear to the show, Kalani Kreutzberg, who is the founder of Canines and Cammies. You know, and Kalani was a young Marine, and he had some personal struggles. And he has shared with us his gratitude for your leadership and something that, you know, maybe you can share a little about that you weren't even necessarily aware of, because sometimes we're not aware of all the ripples, the impact that we make.
That it's so true. And it did. It just happened 2 days ago when it was brought to my attention that was – I had an opportunity to positively influence his life and his objectives with the nonprofit organization that he's running, which of course is influencing far more people than I am. And it just really gave me chills to the sense to know that, you know what, really, if you stick to your guns and know what your priorities are and always do what's right and focus on others, focus on people and relationships and help others achieve their full potential, then, you know, the sky is the limit.
Anything can be achieved.
Exactly.
Anything can be achieved.
So that was, I'm humbled, greatly humbled to have heard that. And thank you for telling me.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, talk a little bit about treasures.
Oh, terrific. Appreciate that. So, okay. So, of course, in the Bible, in Matthew, it talks about storing treasures in heaven, not treasures on earth. And as you look at that, someday we're all going to be gone, and we're not leaving anything. We may leave something tangible behind, but the way that our influence can continue is how have we touched other people's lives? And therein lies the treasure, is touching other people's lives. And then I look to Proverbs 11:25 that says the generous will prosper, but that those who refresh others will themselves become refreshed. And you just shared that one story, and I'm so refreshed right now and so excited and happy and humbled, but it all came because I was able to, in some way, refresh another individual. So the treasures really are in people.
Right. The treasures in others and the ability to pour into them and contribute in a meaningful way. And
correct.
Sometimes, folks, you know, what we're sharing here is we may never know the impact. And that's why it's so important to continue to be that leader and be that influencer, you know, whether it's just with your neighbor or coworker, or maybe it's with your spouse or your partner in your household, influencing them for good, because, you know, you're pouring in and that is the treasures and one of the jewels of life, you know. So folks, we're going to take a short break. We're having a fantastic conversation around servant leadership. In studio is Colonel Chris Ritchie. You're listening to Rise Up Radio. Stick around. We'll be back in a few.
1170, The Answer.
Hey folks, James Carmody, Synergy One Lending. Are you in the market to buy a property and need to close really fast? Synergy One Lending and the Carmody team is your family-owned mortgage bank. Right now, there's low inventory, there's a lot of offers, it's competitive. Synergy One Lending and the Carmody team can close your loan in as little as 10 days. Call today to find out more. 858-525-3086. Call James Carmody and the Carmody team at Synergy One Lending, 858-525-3086.
Hi, James Carmody here, host of Rise Up Radio and a member of the San Diego Leadership Forum with an invitation for you. Our annual summit for the San Diego Leadership Forum is coming up on Tuesday, June 5th at 7 a.m. at the Hanley Hotel, where we're celebrating another exciting year, encouraging, equipping, and engaging our passions. So join us June 5th at the Hanley Hotel. For more information, go to sandiegoleadershipforum.org. That's sandiegoleadershipforum.org, and I can't wait to see you there.
Take a look under your bed. Find stuff under there? What about jobs? No? Now try your basement. There's a pair of overalls that overall you're not so into anymore. A perfectly good laptop that hasn't sat in your lap in months. And even more stuff, but still no jobs? Well, you really have both. See, stuff is defined as household articles considered as a group. Sometimes this stuff is no longer needed. Wait, no longer needed? That can't be right. Because remember those jobs you were looking for? Those are really needed, and they're the stuff inside your stuff. Even inside that winter coat that moved with you to Phoenix. Our job is to unlock those jobs, and it starts when you donate your stuff to your local Goodwill. Here's how we do it. When you donate to Goodwill, we sell your stuff to provide job training for people right here in your community. So just by teaming up with Goodwill, you help create jobs. And isn't that worth parting with the leftover keytar from your 80s cover band? Goodwill. Donate stuff, create jobs. Find your nearest donation center at goodwill.org. A message from Goodwill and the Ad Council.
Hey folks, James Carmody, the host of Rise Up Radio, your source for good news in the San Diego community. We are sharing the good news about what's going on. We need your help. If you are listening to this, please stop what you're doing. Go to sdriseup.com. In the bottom right corner of the page, there's a button that says, I will rise up. We need your help in sharing the good news in San Diego's community. Whether it's the local pastor of your church, your kid's little league coach, or small business owner, we want to share the good news. So go to sdriseup.com and share the stories.
AM 1170, The Answer, San Diego.
Welcome back. You are listening to Rise Up Radio. I'm your host, James Carmody. Thank you so much for tuning in and following us online at SD sdriseup.com. Remember, you can always go to sdriseup.com and nominate a servant leader and a hero in your life or your family's life. We're in studio with Colonel Chris Ritchie, who is a servant leader, 26-year Marine Corps officer, and we were talking about the invisible medal. You know, sometimes in a young officer's life, you can go out, you want to demonstrate your excellence and your successes and your achievements. And in really, you know, at the end of it is, are you influencing another for good? Are you making a difference? And I want to start to talk about the power of one and potential.
Sure. No, absolutely. So there's one thing that every human being is born with, potential, especially every American.
Yep.
And our role as leaders, our role as human beings should be to ensure that everybody achieves their full potential. Yeah. So when you talk about the power of one, what I'm thinking about there really is life is hard. Life is difficult. It's challenging. And we all need help at some point in time in our lives. So when a leader or an individual focuses time to that one individual to help them, that creates an enormous wake that can grow to thousands in no time at all, because that person is going to take it home to his family, to his kids, to his friends, to his church, to his or her organization. I mean,
wherever their life is,
wherever they go. So it's just amazing when you think about it, you impact one, but you're really impacting thousands, all because you cared and you gave them some time and you devoted some of your resources to help them achieve their full potential.
Yeah. It's that ripple effect, or like you said, it's a wake. You know, from one conversation, you can transform someone.
That's right.
And then they're going to go share that with their communities and their circles in their life.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's powerful. Power of one.
Yeah. It's brilliant. You know, let's talk a little bit about life pillars.
Sure thing. So in the Marine Corps, I'm sure in every organizations, you're either going to be really focused on mission or focused on profit.
Mm-hmm.
And when we would do our interviews with Marines, we always do. We say, here's how you can perform better. But the reality of it is we are all human beings, and there are things that are so important to us beyond just being a good Marine or being a good worker. Yep. Or making money or accomplishing the mission. There are things that matter in our churches. There are things that matter in our physical well-being, our professional lives, maybe a nonprofit organization that we're trying to do on the side that nobody would know about unless we talk to the individual, right?
Yep.
We may have some of the best athletes in our organization and never know it that could go on to the next level. So I think focusing less on mission or profit and focusing on the entire person and the pillars that are important to them. And are we as leaders doing everything we can to ensure they've achieved their full potential in every one of those life pillars that matter?
I love it. I love it. And it's interesting. I actually just read a book recently, People Equals Profits, by a mentor and a coach of mine, a gentleman named Rick Ruby, who's in the real estate industry. But it talks about if you are pouring into your people, whether that is one of your team members at work, a fellow employee, a client, family member, or someone else at church, you're pouring into them and you're putting their concerns in front of your own and you're helping them fulfill on what matters to them. Profits and everything else will take care of itself just
fine.
There
you go. That's right.
You know, because if you have happy, satisfied people, everything else will take care of itself.
That's so true.
Absolutely.
Yep, spot on.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, it's again, it comes back to that simple act of waving to the neighbor, you know, or introducing yourself to that person, you know, at work that maybe you don't know.
A smile goes a long way.
It starts with a smile, you know, and so folks, you're listening to this, you know, it's a Saturday afternoon, you know, you might take this on when you go out into your neighborhood either later today or tomorrow morning when you're in church or you're out and about. Just smile at folks, you know, and be courteous, because you have no idea the ripple effect and impact that simple gesture of a smile or an acknowledgement can have on that person in the course of their day.
That is so true.
Yeah. Let's talk a little bit about stewardship.
Sure thing. Yep.
You know,
stewardship is really to hold something in a sacred trust for a period of time. And you'll hear commanders and CEOs talk about this often, that they were privileged to be a steward for a short period. And you want to hand off your organization in better standing than it was than when you when you became the CEO or became the commander. So I'm thinking, isn't that really, and it dovetails, James, to what you were just talking about, isn't life a stewardship in itself? We have an opportunity to be on this earth, and it's just for a short period of time, really.
I mean,
it's all said and done.
Our life is a gift. I mean, the odds of being born.
That's right.
Trillion to one. Odds of being born in America, even further down the scale. And then we're here, and it's like life is a blank.
Yeah, that's right.
What are we doing with it?
Indeed. And are we making it better for our fellow man when we've gone?
Yeah.
Where are our treasures? Where is our focus? Are we leaving behind wads of money, or are we leaving behind influence and helping others? That's really loving our neighbor. That's what it's all about.
Yeah, and making a difference. You know, it's, you know, we live in Southern California. There's a lot of wealth and affluence in this part of the world. And I think people can get caught up in keeping up with the Joneses. What kind of car do they drive? Yeah. Well, where do you live? What's your house like? You know, where does your kid go to school? And that's not what it's about. You know,
there you go.
Life happens in such a blink. We don't take the money with us. They don't put you in the dirt or the ocean and pile your money on top of you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's really about a different kind of currency. And that currency is relationship and influence. You know, and are you leaving your part of the world better because you were there?
Yep.
Being a good steward.
That's exactly right.
Yeah. Yep. You know, so I want to talk a little bit about, to some of our younger listeners, you know, whether they are a young Marine, a soldier, or a civilian, you know, or, you know, someone's kid, what would you offer them, you know, by advice and kind of mentorship?
Well, be true to yourself, for one thing. Don't be somebody that you're not. I would also say that establishing your own personal priorities is so important, because if you have your priorities straight, then any decision that may come your way will become really an easy decision. So personally, my priorities in order is God, family, country, Marine Corps. And some people will say, well, why is your priority not the Marine Corps, you know, number one? Well, I will be retired in 4 years from the Marine Corps, and that'll be a 30 long year career. But it's very, very precious to me. I'll always be known and think of myself as a Marine, as will my kids and grandkids.
Yeah.
But it's temporary in the end.
Right.
Right?
Right.
And
it's a part of your life.
It's a big part of your life, but it's temporary.
Mm.
And I love being an American, to be sure, but I place a higher emphasis on my family, who's my family for life.
And indeed.
And no doubt, I've been married 25 years. I intend to be married until the day I die. And when I am gone, we'll see each other in heaven. And that's why God's the eternal number one commitment. And I think of Eric Little in 1924 at the Paris Olympics.
Yeah.
The best runner of his time, but his heat was run on a Sunday. He chose not to run his heat. He was a shoe-in for the gold medal. And everybody recognizes that and understands that, wow, that's somebody who had his priorities and he didn't deviate from them. So I would recommend to today's youth, you know, be true to yourself. Don't be somebody you're not. Really think about what your goals are in life, what your personal priorities are, and don't let any outside forces influence and make you change those priorities.
Better words can't be spoken. You know, I mean, folks, it's, first of all, it's like, what do you stand for? What are you about? You know, what is your mission? And if you're not sure, maybe take some time this weekend reflecting on that. You know, there's no better time than now. It could be sitting in your car, it could be sitting on your couch, it could, you know, be standing in the park and you're listening to this on a headset. But reflect on, what do you want your life to be about? And are you just along for the ride and kind of at the effect of things and just kind of getting washed around? Or is your life about a purpose bigger than yourself? Once you get clear on that, like you said, it makes a lot of your decisions a lot easier.
Very true.
You know, and making those decisions that are then in line with your purpose or not. And it makes saying no to things a lot easier. You know, that's something me personally, that took me a while to get
you know, when I was younger, was work. Mm-hmm. And then you start a family, and then you have a couple organizations going, and then it's really about, okay, how can I influence others? And then getting those priorities right. You know, for you, I mean, God, family, country, Marine Corps.
Hoorah.
In that order. You know, I think folks got to get their priorities straight. And priorities don't have to be in line with Chris's or mine or the person next to you. It's your priorities, though. And once those priorities are there, be steadfast in your commitment to those priorities and don't waver. You know? Chris, we could talk for hours.
Oh, absolutely.
This has been a pleasure. Parting words for our listeners.
Well, I know life is hard. And there's young listeners, there's older listeners. At the end of the day, take a moment to think about somebody else, because you may find what you're going through may not be as challenging or difficult as what somebody else is going through. So really, stay true to yourself. Follow those priorities like James was just talking about, but try to focus on some others and help them achieve something that you know is very important for them. And when you do that, you'll find that you will be greatly rewarded in more ways than you could imagine.
That's it. You put other people's priorities and you help them achieve what they want, your life will turn out just fine.
Sir.
Colonel Chris Ritchie, thank you for your service to this country. Thank you for who you are for the world. And thank you for being a servant leader and just, you know, a friend and a partner in Rise Up Radio.
Yeah, thank you so much. It's been a wonderful day.
Absolutely. Folks, we're going to take a short break. Stick around. We get a whole second half of the show.
AM 1170, The Answer.
Hey, folks, James Carmody, the host of Rise Up Radio, your source for good news in the San Diego community. We are sharing the good news about what's going on. We need your help. If you are listening to us, please stop what you're doing. Go to sdriseup.com. In the bottom right corner of the page, there's a button that says, I will rise up. We need your help in sharing the good news in San Diego's community. Whether it's the local pastor of your church, your kid's little league coach, or small business owner, we want to share the good news. So go to sdriseup.com and share the stories.
It was a goal that I wanted to achieve from the very beginning.
I'm a 40-year-old man that walked in there to get his high school diploma. I wasn't sure if I could do it. It was very hard for me, but the teachers, the counselors, they help you.
One of the teachers was Miss Araceli. Miss Araceli, she gave me direction. Every single time I had a question, she'll put down whatever she's doing and she'll come over and she'll sit there with you until you get it.
At age 47, with the help of his teacher, Marco finished his high school diploma.
50% of getting your high school diploma is walking through those doors. The other 50% is doing the work. Getting your high school diploma, it is a life-changing experience. It really is. It catapults you to where you want to go.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
James Carmody here, your host of Rise Up Radio and a member of the San Diego Leadership Forum, with an invitation for you. Our annual summit is coming up on June 5th. San Diego Leadership Forum has been an integral part in helping leaders, CEOs, government, and civic leaders grow together, expand our legacies, and influence in San Diego for the greater good. On Tuesday, June 5th at 7 a.m. at the Hanley Hotel, we're celebrating another exciting year of encouragement, equipping, engaging our passions in executing change in San Diego for the greater good. Join Gary Ridge with WD-40, Supervisor Bill Horn, and the rest of the Leadership Forum partners on June 5th at the Hanley Hotel. Networking begins at 6:45, program begins at 7:10, and goes until 9 a.m. You're going to want to mark your calendars for June 5th. Get your ticket today at sandiegoleadershipforum.org. That's sandiegoleadershipforum.org, and I can't wait to see you there.
Hey folks, James Carmody, Synergy One Lending. Are you in the market to buy a property and need to close really fast? Synergy One Lending and the Carmody team is your family-owned mortgage bank. Right now, there's low inventory, there's a lot of offers, it's competitive. Synergy One Lending and the Carmody team can close your loan in as little as 10 days. Call today to find out more. 858-525-3086. Call James Carmody and the Carmody team at Synergy One Lending, 858-525-3086.
AM 1170, The Answer.
Welcome back, folks. You are listening to Rise Up Radio. I am your host, James Carmody. Thank you for joining us on another fantastic Saturday. We had Colonel Chris Ritchie, the first half of the show, the United States Marine Corps. Now we're going to talk Cal Fire. We have Chief Tony Meacham. Welcome to the show, sir.
Yeah, good morning. Thank you.
And we have Captain Isaac Sanchez, Public Information Officer. Welcome to the show.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you for what you guys do. You guys are not sitting around the firehouse twiddling your thumbs these days. You guys seem busy.
Yeah, every year it seems to just get busier and busier. And, you know, 2017 was a record-setting year for us. And we haven't slowed down at all going into 2018, that's for sure.
Not at all. I mean, I know we've had stuff recently going on. But before we even dive into all the cool stuff that you guys are doing at Cal Fire, you know, we didn't roll out of bed this morning and say, you know, I'm going to be chief of Cal Fire. You know, so we want to share a little bit about, you know, how you guys got here. You know, so, like, Tony, where did you grow up?
Yeah, I grew up in just outside Santa Barbara. And, you know, my story goes back probably when I was 3 years old looking at fire engines. And I just knew what I wanted to do. And we had the Eagle Canyon fire in 1978 up in Santa Barbara. And I remember counting 50 fire engines, CDF fire engines at the time. And I said, well, that's who I'm going to work for. And so I did the Explorer Scout and went to college and became a seasonal firefighter right here in San Diego in 1987. And, you know, 30 years later, somehow ended up as the chief. And it's just been a great ride for me.
Yeah, so you got the bug early on as a kid.
Yeah, a little kid. My mom talks about me looking out the windows waiting for the fire engines to go by. And that was right when the show Emergency came out. And I had my little toolbox, and I would go treat my mom and dad in the living room. And I was a complete fire geek growing up.
Studying from an early age.
Yeah, that's for sure.
Isaac, how about you? Where are you from?
I'm from here in San Diego. From
Chula Vista. Native.
Yeah.
Love it.
Native, yeah. A similar story. I caught the bug as a young man. I knew that I wanted to contribute on some level to what was going on in our community and kind of make a difference. And, of course, I settled on the fire service fairly early in age. And it's just a goal that I worked towards. And so here we are 20-something years later. Yeah.
20-something years later.
Sure. 20, I think 23, 22.
Yeah. Wow. Okay. So, folks, these guys have been around for a while. They have seen a thing or two. So, 2017, you guys are super busy. And fortunately and unfortunately, we're keeping you guys very busy in 2018.
Yeah. You know, 2017 started off, we thought we'd get a break with the heavy rains we had last year, but really all that did was bring the grass crop. Mm. And so, we started seeing in May early season fires. We were in Fresno County very early in the year, about 30,000 acres. And went all the way through the summer to the largest fire in California state history in December. And, you know, tragically, we had one of our own firefighters killed on the Thomas Fire. And that's really affected us as we've gone, you know, into 2018.
Now, you know, I guess as citizens living in this part of the world, what are some things that we need to be aware of to kind of partner with Cal Fire and not just say, wait, okay, Cal Fire's got that, you know. What are things that people need to be aware of?
I think the biggest thing right now is the message that we're trying to deliver is that you have an impact on your community. You have an impact on your environment, and the actions that you take or don't take, for that matter, have an effect on us. And when it comes to fighting fire, you know, you can help us and do your defensible space clearance and prep yourself and prep your family to be ready for the effects of a fire, or you'll be dealing with the immediate effects of it at last second, unprepared, and making an already stressful situation even more stressful.
Yeah. And if I could add, you know, I think we live in a society where people aren't prepared. And whether it's a wildland fire or an earthquake, it is going to happen. And people have this attitude that it's never going to happen to
me. Not me.
It's not me. Or when it does happen, that government's going to show up and there's going to be a fire truck at my door. And that's not the reality of where we live in. I think we're really trying to push people. We talk about the basics of having drinking water and batteries and first aid kits. And you'd be surprised how many people don't have that. Just the basic essentials to get through a catastrophic event.
And what about, you know, like evacuation procedures? God forbid something does happen and people have to leave quickly with little to no notice.
Yeah, if you go back to 2003 and 2007, we've done the largest evacuations in this country's history. So unfortunately, we have a good track record here in San Diego. Over the last 2 years, we've really refined our procedures. We work day to day with the San Diego County Sheriff's Department and all of our law enforcement partners. They're really responsible for the evacuations. But our message is we're going to evacuate early and we're going to evacuate often. So this is a year-round planning. We're starting to take advantage of technology. We literally have the county in grids on a tablet. We're able to push a button and transmit that information to the dispatch center, who then can send it out through Alert San Diego. So it's one of the things that we look at within the first 5 minutes of a fire is, are we going to need to evacuate it? And if so, when do we need to pull that trigger and start it?
Yeah, and I mean, I think that, I mean, I appreciate getting those alerts.
Yeah, I mean, we want to keep people informed. And tragically, if I go back through my 30-some year career, wildland fires, we didn't usually have the loss of human life. But you look at what happened up in the North Bay this year, and you know, over 40 people killed during a wildland event, primarily in their homes in the middle of the night. So both myself and Sheriff Gore really committed that we would rather probably over-evacuate and be overly cautious. Because the inconvenience to leave your home for an afternoon is nothing compared to the death of a family member.
Absolutely. Absolutely. talk about, you know, some of your partnerships. You know, I know you guys are partnering with SDSO, other organizations. What does that look like?
Well, you know, really it's collaboration. We're in this together. Mm-hmm. And CAL FIRE is not going to solve this wildland fire problem alone. It has to be a whole community approach to dealing with this. So we have great partnerships first with all the fire agencies in San Diego County. I think of the fellow fire chiefs as my brothers and sisters, and we help each other out daily. Certainly the law enforcement community is actively involved, but then we have our involvement with our community groups, fire safe councils, the landowners, property owners, the Red Cross, County Office of Emergency Services, where we educate. And then certainly on the county side, we've tried to unify fire services in the county. We've incorporated 13 different agencies now under the umbrella of the County Fire Authority to try and give us a more effective response.
Yeah, I mean, we had the Coast Guard in here several months ago, and some of the rescue divers, and they were talking about, you know, the fires up in Santa Barbara, you know, and them participating with you guys in some of those rescues.
Yeah, absolutely. And you look at the fires and then the mudslides that came after. Oh. And people don't think about the Coast Guard, but they're highly trained, very good at what they do. And we've used them quite a bit here in the Otay Mountains just to rescue people when, for whatever reason, our aircraft isn't available. So people don't think about that. We have agreement with the United States Marine Corps. You talked about having the colonel in here earlier today. In 2014, we had 47 military aircraft flying fires in San Diego County. We're the only place in the nation that has that level of engagement with our military partners, both the Marine Corps and the U.S. Navy.
I think that's incredible. And I don't know. I mean, what comes to mind is the question of why. Why wouldn't other organizations have such a high level of collaboration?
You know, the military has their mutual aid agreements. Every base has that. In 2003, we were unable to fly the military, really due to training and incompatible radio frequencies. The airspace over our fires is very congested. So we met with the military. That, as you know, they're a huge presence here in San Diego and great pilots. And we just said, hey, this is the right thing to do. They wanted a hand in protecting their community. I think they were frustrated in 2003 that watching homes burn. So we form this partnership. We do an annual training with the military. And, of course, their job is to defend the country and be mission ready. But when they're here and available, they like flying for us.
That's fantastic. You know, and I know a big part of your partnerships and the collaborations is with San Diego Fire as well as SDG&E. What's that like?
Well, San Diego Fire has been a great partner. It started Javier Maynard and then Brian Fennessy. Now Kevin Esther's there. And I think that we've shared a similar view. We're both large agencies, and we have so much more to gain when we partner together. And so my folks go downtown and ride in downtown San Diego and get the high-rise experience, and San Diego's coming out and riding in the East County with us. But we have the helicopter agreement with the city. We're not going to fight about helicopters and airplanes anymore.
And what is that like, you know?
You know, it's fantastic. If you go back to 2003, we joked about the helicopter wars that occurred, and we're so far beyond that myself and the city fire chief.
And what does that mean? So, you know, a layperson like myself, you know, what are these helicopter agreements?
So you're going to get the closest helicopter regardless of day or night. And CAL FIRE, we don't fly at night, and the city does. So we're going to use them. And really with the goal of what's the best thing for the citizen out there. And we'll worry about how we're going to pay for it and those things later, but there's just such a spirit of cooperation between us and the city fire department. It's one of the more exciting things about being the county fire chief.
That's, you know, you don't think of that as like, all right, we have this issue here coming back, and then it comes, whose plane is it? Who's paying for it?
Yeah, and we just don't worry about those things anymore. It's doing the right thing for the public, as I said. And it's not only that, but training together. City of San Diego will help cover our stations. And, you know, even on December 14th, when we had our tragic event, the first phone call I got was from the city fire chief about, hey, what can we do to come cover your stations? We know your people are hurting. And all of a sudden, San Diego City showed up and just covered all of our fire stations.
That's impressive, you know, to have kind of that level of collaboration, you know. And what is it like on your end, Isaac, as you're, you know, in charge of public information, a lot of the communication that's getting disseminated and dispersed?
You know, it's another area that we can, that it's very obvious that the spirit of cooperation is really shining through through the different agencies. Everybody's so willing to just participate, help each other out, share the information, spread the information out, because the goal is to have a more informed public. And the more we're able to deliver the message on preparation and prevention, or even in the immediacy of an incident, the better off the public's going to be as a result. And we certainly, as a group and as an industry, we take that to heart. We know that the public needs that information, and we certainly provide it willingly.
And you guys do a great job with it.
Thank you.
Folks, you are listening to Cal Fire Chief Tony Meacham, Captain Isaac Sanchez on Rise Up Radio. We're going to take a short break. We'll be back in a few.
AM 1170, The Answer, San Diego.
Hey folks, James Carmody, Synergy One Lending. Are you in the market to buy a property and need to close really fast? Synergy One Lending and the Carmody team is your family-owned mortgage bank. Right now, there's low inventory, there's a lot of offers, it's competitive. Synergy One Lending and the Carmody team can close your loan in as little as 10 days. Call today to find out more. 858-525-3086. Call James Carmody and the Carmody team at Synergy One Lending, 858-525-3086.
Hi, James Carmody here, host of Rise Up Radio and a member of the San Diego Leadership Forum with an invitation for you. Our annual summit for the San Diego Leadership Forum is coming up on Tuesday, June 5th at 7 a.m. at the Hanley Hotel, where we're celebrating another exciting year, encouraging, equipping, and engaging our passions. So join us June 5th at the Hanley Hotel. For more information, go to sandiegoleadershipforum.org. That's sandiegoleadershipforum.org, and I can't wait to see you there.
It's pouring rain. It's real dark outside. Your heart starts beating really, really fast. You've never done anything so hard in your life. This is boot camp. This is the real thing now. It's such extreme pain, you don't understand how you can finish. I began to feel that there was no way I was ever going to have my title, U.S. Marine. It takes special inner strength, courage, and desire to do this. I was just thinking, I'm so close, I'm so close. And when I finished, I was like, I'm done. I did it. The moment I will never forget is when this drill instructor that I admire so much comes up to me straight in front of me, put her arm on my shoulder and said, good morning, Marine.
PFC Summer Volkman became a Marine. Can you? Visit Marines.com or call 1-800-MARINES. The few, the proud, the Marines.
Hey folks, James Carmody, the host of Rise Up Radio, your source for good news in the San Diego community. We are sharing the good news about what's going on. We need your help. If you are listening to this, please stop what you're doing. Go to sdriseup.com. In the bottom right corner of the page, there's a button that says, I will rise up. We need your help in sharing the good news in San Diego's community. Whether it's the local pastor of your church, your kid's little league coach, or small business owner, we want to share the good news. So go to sdriseup.com and share the stories.
AM 1170, The Answer.
Welcome back, folks. You are listening to Rise Up Radio. I'm your host, James Carmody. Thank you for following us at sdriseup.com. Remember, you can get all the information about the show. You can download the podcast at sdriseup.com. In studio with us are two great servant leaders from Cal Fire, San Diego County Fire Chief Tony Meacham. Welcome back, sir.
Thank you.
And Captain Isaac Sanchez, Public Information Officer. Sir, welcome back.
Thank you.
So, gentlemen, you guys are busy. I mean, and you guys are covering a wide range of terrain. You guys have a lot of different things that you are responsible for. You're collaborating, which we really love. We're starting to talk about citizens being informed and getting information out. And one of the things I want to talk about is 211 versus 911. Maybe, Isa, you can share about that for our guests.
Sure. So 211 is an organization that exists in San Diego, and they provide a great day-to-day service to community members, you know, connecting folks in the community with services that they may need, whatever they may be. And it is a great organization that does a great job. But when it comes to incidents and spreading information, using them as a conduit to help us spread information to the public, what will happen is we'll give them a heads up at we have an incident that's going to potentially, you know, have an impact on the community, and they'll stand up their operation. And what we'll do is we'll announce essentially that 211 is now the source of information if you have questions about the fire. And that'll cover things that I'm not already covering on social media and direct interviews and that kind of stuff. And what they do is they act as our voice under our direction and under our lead for this incident. They can certainly provide, you know, evacuation center information for folks, road closures, you know, acreages, that kind of stuff. Information that the public needs to be aware and to stay prepared as far as fires.
Got it. And so, you know, really, I think people need to get familiar with 211, you know, get informed, whether that's searching online, being ready and being prepared to receive information. You know, a lot of times people may be working or they're picking kids up to school, they're in a commute, they're doing any number of things. And how are they actually getting information so they can be up to minute if there's a situation going on?
Sure. Yeah. And one of the other things that they do is they really provide a great service through this cooperative agreement that we have with them to essentially decompress or to minimize the impact on 911 when it comes to for information, because folks do and have in the past and they continue to call 911 when there's a large fire. And while that still is an appropriate thing to do if you're, you know, in an immediate threat, it's not the appropriate, you know, phone number for incident information. And that really is a positive impact that 211 has. And we've seen the results, essentially freeing up those 911 lines so that, you know, the new emergency can be reported.
Now, really the overarching theme is a more informed public. You know, how can we minimize loss, whether it's loss of property, loss of life in some cases, and keep people safe at the end of the day? You know, what are some things that you guys want to share that you're like, man, every citizen needs to know this stuff?
Yeah, there's a wealth of knowledge out there, and it's hard to pick the specific topics that we want to hit. But what we do is we provide, you know, the information to where the public can find the information that they need to be prepared. And there are a couple primary sources that we utilize. First, at the county level, we have a website called ReadySanDiego.org, which is operated by San Diego County. And that offers tips on not only being prepared for you know, being aware of the dangers of a wildfire, but it also covers preparation for other natural disasters. It's not just for wildland fire. And when we usually talk about preparation, it's in the context of wildland fire. And we talk about evacuations, it's in the context of wildland fire.
Right, what's common to our region. So
exactly.
Folks, you want to write that down or save it in your phone, ReadySanDiego.org. And I charge you with this, you know, it's a Saturday afternoon. Take 5 minutes to go to that website and get familiar with it.
Yeah, absolutely. Because it's not just wildland fire that could potentially cause an evacuation. Again, that's why we're here, and that certainly is something that we speak about. But it could be anything. It could be an earthquake. It could be a hazardous materials incident. It could, you know, there's just any number of incidents where you may have to be prepared to evacuate. And that's where ReadySanDiego.org comes in, and they do a great job of it. And then there's additionally to the website itself, there's a link there called for Alert San Diego. And what that is that essentially is what we commonly refer to as reverse 911, where you sign up your personal cell phone, your email accounts, your home phone, that kind of stuff to receive notifications in the event that you do have an incident or you need to evacuate from your home.
Got it. Okay. So folks, assignment number two, don't just go to the website, but sign yourself up for Alert San Diego. And so you can get these emails, texts, or, you know, calls, but you can get this information so that you're prepared for yourself and your family and your loved ones.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And if I could add an assignment number three in there for him is...
Please, we're giving out homework.
Yeah, we'll give out some more homework today.
You have all weekend.
You know, as I'm really on this kick this year of pushing personal responsibility. And we're so unprepared for the disaster. And people don't think it's ever going to happen to them. But something as simple as a house fire changes the course of your life. And, you know, the impacts go on for years trying to recover. So to get people to spend, you know, 2 to 3 hours up front just thinking about an emergency plan and what documents, and do I have a copy of my insurance paperwork, and all those things, just as something as simple as a fire safe in your home, doing your clearance, all of those things. We've got to get the public engaged with the public safety agencies that this can happen to you, and what have you done? Because by the time your home's on fire, there's a fire, and you call 911, it's too late. While we may be able to be effective and keep the fire out of homes or save homes, for some people, it's just too late once the incident occurs. So I think that would be assignment three for me, is get people to buy into this notion that it can happen to you.
Yeah. You know, folks, you cannot be too prepared. And I think to Chief Tony Meacham's point is, what is your personal preparedness plan? Like, do you have your documents in order? You know, my wife and I are relatively new parents with a 9-month-old at home, you know, and so it was about a year ago where we said, you know what, we're getting a fireproof box. We're putting certain documents in that box, as well as having copies online so that they're safe and secure. And then we also, okay, where are we going if we need to leave the house quickly? You know, where do we meet? What is our path? What is our process? And then we actually took that a step further. In each of our vehicles, we have, mine's a bag, hers is almost, it looks like a little tackle box, but there's batteries, there's drinking water, there's duct tape, there's certain things that you need if you really need to take care of yourself in an incident.
Absolutely. That preparedness is so important. I give a really easy example. How many people don't memorize phone numbers anymore? Tied to our cell phone that an incident happens and a fire in your house in the middle of the night and you don't grab your phone. Do you just somewhere have 4 or 5 numbers written down to connect with family and friends? We've become so dependent on those types of things that when an incident happens, we're really left with kind of nothing to take care of ourselves for those first few days.
I'll be adding phone numbers to my list of documents this weekend.
That's good.
anything else that people, you know, should be doing to either be informed or be prepared?
I think the biggest thing that the public needs to be aware of is that, like I said earlier, they have an impact on what's going on around them. And so, you know, when you're out, you know, enjoying the Southern, you know, California weekend, or out hiking or camping or, you know, riding your bike, that kind of stuff, just be aware of what you're doing, you know, operate in a safe manner. We talk about it quite frequently that 95 or in the area of 95% of all wildland fires are caused by people. You know, it doesn't necessarily mean it's anything criminal or nefarious in nature. It just can be a simple accident, car accident or, you know, you're doing your defensible space clearance and you accidentally inadvertently start a fire. Just be aware of what you're doing. Understand that most fires are caused by people, and most of the fires that people cause are accidental. So I think if we just take that ounce of prevention, it certainly is going to be worth that pound of cure. Yeah.
Yeah, folks. And I want to take that a level deeper, because here's the thing. When we aren't prepared and you're that person that's not responsible, there's a massive impact on yourself and your neighbors, and the financial burden that you can put on the system because you weren't prepared, you weren't paying attention. Now all of a sudden, resources need to be deployed to help you, and those are resources that aren't going elsewhere that may actually be more in dire need than yourself.
Yeah. You know, one of the things that we see quite frequently, generally speaking, the public doesn't see it as often as, you know, some of the larger fires. But when we get fires that are near I-15 or Interstate 8, which happens a couple times a year, what ends up happening is obviously there's going to be some massive traffic jam as a result.
Sure.
Whether we simply have to shut the freeway down for safety, firefighter and public safety, or just, you know, take a lane and cause a massive impact. And that right there is one of the more immediate impacts that fires have. And like I said, some of them are caused accidentally. Some of them are, you know, vehicle accidents. But like you said, there's this ripple effect of impacts down the line, whether it's you being, you know, 2-3 hours late for coming home, or, you know, commerce is being affected because we've shut the freeway down. You know, there really are massive impacts even on a small fire based off of the location.
No, I was just going to add that, you know, a wildland fire is really a disaster for the entire community. And when we think about infrastructure, affected people unable to get to business, the loss to business, that's why I say this really this community approach to wildland fire. It's not just the trees and brush burning. It's the impacts to the community. And I go back to kind of in this preparedness mode. We talk a lot about defensible space and doing your clearance. And I get concerned at times. It kind of becomes the background noise. But I think people really need to buy into this notion that it's their responsibility to defend their property, not the fire department's. And when we arrive at a fire, we have sometimes dozens or hundreds of structures that are threatened. We're going to pick those structures that give us the best opportunity to save the home and provide for the safety of our personnel. And if you haven't taken a Saturday afternoon to clear your weeds and your brush, the reality is your home's probably going to burn down. And I think that financial impact, because you didn't do 3 or 4 hours of clearance, everybody's insurance rates go up in the community. So, you know, we don't think about, hey, there was a fire in Oceanside and how is it affecting the whole region as a whole?
Sure, that ripple effect.
Absolutely.
Guys, final parting words for our listeners.
I think just going into 2018, we want people to be aware that we live in this wildland environment and to take precautions themselves, keep their eyes and ears open, and also realize the really tough job that our firefighters that we ask them to do. So when we issue things like evacuation warnings, when we ask you to do your clearance, please help us do our jobs.
Yeah, folks, you have a few assignments for the weekend and some responsibility to help the guys over at Cal Fire. First is you're going to go to readysandiego.org, get familiar with that website, sign up for Alert San Diego so you can get those emails, text messages, and then also look at your personal checklist. Do you have your documents in a fireproof box? Do you have a safety box or bag in your vehicle? Does your family have a process and a procedure you go through in the event that you need to get out of your home or your workplace very quickly? So, we know that this is a serious topic, but you just need to be prepared, and it starts with that individual accountability. And I want to leave you with this. The first half of the show, we talked about the ripple effect of servant leadership, and it's starting with a smile with Colonel Chris Ritchie. And now we're going the other extreme about how can you actually be personally responsible in the event of a wildfire, natural disaster. The bottom line, folks, is you have an impact. My question to you is, what are you impacting and influencing today? Thank you for tuning in to Rise Up Radio, and remember to rise up.